Well, we're talking about faith today, and we'll be talking about faith probably a little bit next Sunday also, because, well, we're in the book of Hebrews, one of my favorite books. If you're allowed to have favorite books in the Bible, and I think you are, just like, you know, you're allowed to have favorite children, you just don't tell the other ones which one it is. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, we know a lot about faith, and we've heard a lot about it, so I was wondering if it might be worthwhile for us to just spend a little bit of time looking at faith from maybe a slightly different perspective. Nothing dramatic, because I'm not going to tell you anything new, I don't think, this morning, but it might be something you haven't thought of in exactly that way. And as I was thinking about faith, I was reminded again that faith, the opposite of faith is not doubt. We often think that, but as I've said before, I'm sure, the opposite of faith is certainty. We sometimes say that, you know, you have exercised faith when you sit on the pews, that they're not going to, you know, they're not going to fall down beneath you. But really, that's not faith at all. You know perfectly well a pew is not going to just collapse. That's the same as worrying about, oh, I don't know, your clothes are going to dissolve and embarrass you in public. I mean, I suppose it's possible, but it's not going to happen. We don't exercise faith about those things. I don't exercise faith that the sun is going to rise tomorrow. I suppose in some strange alternate universe, the Earth might stop moving. And actually, now that I think about it, I read a very interesting novel based on that whole idea that the Earth stopped, and so one side was hot and one was cold. Sort of like, anyway, that took some faith to believe that. How about we'll go with that part and we'll just move on. Certainty is what we know is going to happen. We don't have faith in that. We don't need faith in that. We have faith in things that we don't know are going to happen. We have faith in things that we're worried about, or that we're concerned about, or we're not sure about. And if we want to come across somebody who wasn't sure about something, I think Abram is a great place to start. Abram was 99 years old at the reading that we heard. His wife Sarah was 80s. And Abram was told more than once before this, as well as this time, that Abram, you are going to have children. And Abram said, yes, yes, I know. It'll be through Eliezer, whatever the relationship was there. We're not entirely sure, a servant, something of that nature. And in that time, you could have descendants that weren't, in a sense, genetically connected to you. That was part of the legality of the whole thing. You would have descendants through somebody else. So it wasn't that Abram was making something up or being silly. He was talking about a way that some things were done. And God said, no, I'm not talking about that. You are going to have children just like everybody else. The last time this was made this obvious was when Abram was met by those three people, God in some way, angels, direct messengers from God, whatever it is. And they said, you will have children. And Sarah laughed then, and that was before. So you can just imagine what it might be like now. Well, think about it. In our current days of fertility treatments and all of that, it would be front page news if a couple who were 99 and 80 something or other had a baby. That would be surprising to us. We haven't had anybody having babies at that age since pre-Noah times. Whether they're literal or not, doesn't matter. People were having children a lot later then. That was a completely different time. Nobody has babies when the combined ages of the couple get into 170. It just doesn't work that way. So Abram's struggles with this, I think, are perfectly reasonable. And yet, he still believed. That's where the faith comes in. Faith that you're going to have a baby when the two of you are 23... You still need faith, perhaps, but on the whole, it's not quite the same as when you're 99. There are very few parts of the Bible that make me actually sort of laugh out loud, but there are some that amuse me more than others. And the description of Abram in Hebrews, and he as good as dead, I must say, does bring a smile to my face, just about every time I read it. I'm not being mean about Abram, I just think, what an interesting way to describe it. But it highlights how unusual, how unlikely this was. But Abram still believed. When Abram was taken out saying, look at the stars, count them if you can, that's like your descendants. Now for us, for those of us who grew up in cities, that one's a tricky one, because you know, you, Your average night in Regina, you step out, you can count all the stars you can see in about a minute. You run out of fingers, but it doesn't take that many. One of the things that we used to do after the Christmas program at Knox on Briarcrest, whichever one or many of my kids came along, or grandkids, we'd stop about halfway back on 339 when we were as far removed from lights as we could get, and we'd get out of the car, you know, park safely, and get out of the car and look up, and suddenly say, that's the kind of thing that shocked Abram. When you look up and you can actually see all the stars, it's an extravagant promise. And for someone who has no children, it would be cruel if it wasn't backed up by a God who fulfills things. So Abram believed and he had faith. And in one way, his faith was rewarded, or his faith was ratified, when he did in fact have a child. But let's not forget that Abram didn't see the reality of the real promise. Because the promise was, yes, you'll have a child, you'll have children, but you will have so many, you won't be able to count them. Well, Abram didn't see that. But he believed that also. And he believed both of these things, the child and then the descendants, before any of them had happened. That's what faith is. It's not, no matter what you might think, and peace on the memory of Mark Twain, faith is not believing things you know aren't true. That's not what faith is. Faith is believing in things that you can't see, with the confidence that they will become true at the right time. All of us exercise faith in different areas, of course, and sometimes it's really hard. How do we keep going? Well, in a very real way, faith is a gift as well as something that we exercise. There are some people that have a special gift of faith, and we are desperately needy of them, of course. These are the people who believe in the face of what appears to be incontrovertible evidence to the rest of us that it's not going to happen. And they believe on our behalf also. But we have the gift of faith, but it comes from other things. Faith doesn't just spring out of nowhere. I have faith in God for things, not because I've been given a divine vision into all of the future, but because when I look back, things I had faith in happened. And things that other people had faith in happened. I use my own self as an example frequently because I can't really speak for anybody else. But I'm a different person now than I was when I was young. All of us are. Hopefully better. Definitely different. And when I was quite young, I didn't have faith that I would become someone who would be allowed to stand in a pulpit. That wasn't part of my hopes for the future. But it was for some other people who had faith that God had given a gift to me that I wasn't using in the way I eventually would. Their faith is here, in that I am here. My own faith, when I began to realize that there is so much more to the world than just my own microscopic interests, and that God was interested in me even when I wasn't interested in God. And I moved into these things, and I can remember thinking, I hope someday I have some of those things that other people have that I admire, like patience, maybe even wisdom. These things that I found so hard to do for much of my early life. It was impossible for me to allow somebody else to be wrong as I understood what needed to be done. I would correct anyone and everyone if I possibly could. This made me few friends and gave my parents something to talk about with their friends on a regular basis. I thought, will I ever be patient? Well, I am. I wasn't for a long time, but I can see it now. And I'm not as patient as I'd like to be yet, but when I hear my children talking about how patient I am with my grandkids, and when I even hear my children talking about how they're glad I was patient with them when they were figuring things out when they were younger, it strikes me that, yes, that faith that I had, that God would in fact give to me those fruit of the Spirit that God gives to all of us, I was no exception, although sometimes I wondered, all those things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forgiveness, the list in Galatians, that they have happened. I believed they would, but I didn't see them. Like, I couldn't just reach out and touch them. When I first started thinking about these things that would make me a better person, they seemed beyond reach, barring a miracle. Maybe it is a miracle, but I think what it is it's a slow process of maturing and watching you people and people like you who have been further along the path than I was, and to see that, yes, you don't achieve perfection, but you get better at these things. Just have faith. Don't give up just because you can't see it now. It's tempting to give up because some of these things we wait for, and some of them we will never see. Abram never saw millions of descendants. Saw a few. He saw the beginning of it, but he had faith the whole way along. And not just because he sat in a corner and closed his eyes and clenched his fists and said, I will have faith. But faith is not just in that vacuum. It's also in the reality of our lives that we see things moving in the direction that we can begin to see, yes, that will happen. For Abram, the beginning of descendants was having one. And when he saw that, then the rest of it becomes easier to have faith in. It's not easy, but it becomes easier as we realize that God has moved in these directions. God said would happen, and they did. It gives me faith that I will continue to grow in patience and kindness. I'll even become patient someday with that. Although I must say, it's been a very good year for motorcycles for Moose Jaw. There's been hardly any compared to what, I can't remember what year it was. In the early 2010s. Remember that? Every Sunday, it was like there was a biker rally somewhere, and we were on the main path between them and wherever they wanted to go. So this isn't bad. I'm happy, but look how far I've grown in that. We all grow. And we take the evidence of where our growth is, and it keeps us moving forward. When Abram had a child, he didn't know for certain, at least I don't, it would be reasonable to expect that he may not have thought, okay, with one child, that means that I will in fact have these millions of descendants. It wasn't unheard of in those days for a family line to simply disappear because of a catastrophe. It still isn't. Was Abram entirely confident? Well, perhaps he was, but it wouldn't be unreasonable if he still had that balancing act of faith saying, yes, God said I would have a baby and then I would have lots and lots of descendants. Well, the baby's here. Okay, it'll probably happen, but I wonder. That doubting that we have, that concern that we haven't overstretched our own interpretation of God's will for us, is perfectly normal. There's nothing wrong with it. There are very few places in Scripture where honest doubt is condemned. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any. Obstreperous refusing to believe what's in front of you is something different. But being doubtful, but having that little wiggle in the back of your mind, you think, really? That's not a sin. That's part of being human. But we resist it because of the faith we have, and that faith is built on our experience of the goodness and the reliability of God. That's what Abraham brought to his interactions with God, and that's what we bring to ours. So if we want to take one look at faith this Sunday, let's remember that just because we don't see the end doesn't mean that we don't have enough faith. And if we ever wonder if the end will actually come, doesn't mean that we are lacking in faith entirely either. Faith is the confidence in what we can't see. A confidence grounded not just in our own wishful hopes, not just in our own sense of what would be good, but our faith is grounded in our experience with a God who loves us, has always loved us, and always will love us. And we look at the evidence of that, and we apply that evidence to what we don't see yet. And we say, yes, I have faith in that. When it will come, I might not know. But I know it's coming, because God's the one who guaranteed it. God's the one who said this will happen. And I'll depend on that rather than my own feeling about what will happen and my own vision of what I see. Amen.